Hi, listeners. I'm your host, Rebecca Kelly, and welcome back to The Station, a fiction podcast about a girl named Ida Shepherd, who's living alone on board an abandoned space station called the Delta. If you're just joining the podcast, welcome. I'm so grateful that you're here. Now, this is a continuous story based on a novel I wrote called The Station. If you haven't done so already, pause this episode and go back to chapter one to begin the story at the beginning. Then feel free to binge listen to all the episodes until you're caught up. Now, let's jump into this week's episode. In the last chapter, we learned that Ale Bacchus, an engineer at NASA, believes that the rogue SOS signal they picked up a few days prior may be coming from a defunct space station called the Delta. They thought the Delta burned up in the atmosphere many years before, but he's discovered that it's still up there, and he even has photographic proof. But he's still not sure why it's up there or who might be sending the distress signal. He's enlisted the help of one of the computer coders at NASA to send a rudimentary message to the Delta as kind of a test to see if anyone picks up. Will Ida receive this message? Let's find out. Here is chapter 20 of The Station. I am screwed. I'm sitting in the kitchen, staring out the window in defeat. I spent the last 3 days trying to figure out a way to fix the engine, running circles around the track and inside my head, daring my mind to come up with something brilliant. But I'm right back where I started. Not brilliant and without ideas. Although I did get in 100 kilometers, something I haven't done in a while now, so that's positive. Anyway, according to Nix's logs, the electrical components between the nuclear reactor and the engine are fried. This likely happened after the last time we ignited the engine, but since the engine was shut down after that, the computer received no error message. I keep trying to remember that time, the last time I did an orbital maneuver with the engine. It was 45 days ago. I don't know, maybe I didn't pay attention when the computer shut off after the engine burned, or maybe the computer didn't even shut the engine down and it burned out on its own because of the electrical failure. I can't remember anything out of the ordinary. It's incredibly frustrating. I've been through the last 4 months of log entries in the computer system related to the power supply and the engine. It reported nothing out of the ordinary, nothing to show anything leading up to this failure, no alarms, no error codes, nothing. I continue to send my distress signal and positive vibes out into the universe, hoping for a miracle. It's literally all I can do now. I stand to leave the kitchen so I can check the broadcast on the hollow screen in the service module. As I do, a bowl of roasted sunflower seeds falls to the floor and scatters all over the place. I am defeated. I don't even stop to pick it up. After I float through the main tunnel and into the service module, I notice for the first time today, I'm on the night side of the planet. I've been so wrapped up in my thoughts about fixing the engine, I haven't noticed a single rotation. I continue on to the VP for a little look around before I start working again. I must be over an ocean because as far as I can see, there is black nothingness. The loneliness rises up through me so fast it takes my breath away for a moment. I force my lungs to inhale a deep breath and try to shake it out of my body by shaking my hands back and forth and exhaling loudly. Then I move back into the service module. A blue light glows from the hollow screen, and the start program for the station systems appears as I hover in front of it. I pull up the communications programs and notice that there's no change. No pings, no answer, no signals received, nothing. I scrunch up my nose in frustration. Surely those satellites are picking up my signal. I've been blasting it right at them for 3 days. I can feel the heat of anger rising up through my body. Maybe this whole idea of getting rescued is a hopeless dream, something out of a science fiction novel. If they did send a signal in return, I could easily pick it up if... Wait. Wait just a minute. With renewed life, my fingers move lightly across the menus, opening files, then closing them again, pulling up documents and programs, then dragging them off to the side to look at later. Where is it? What am I looking for? There it is, the controls for the antenna array. The station has two antennae dedicated to communications. There's a high-gain antenna, which is meant to pick up and broadcast highly targeted radio signals. It was the primary communications antenna for the station when the crew was in contact with mission control. It's highly sensitive, and so it can pick up radio signals as long as the signal is within its tight beam. In contrast, the low-gain antenna covers a lot of range, but it's much less accurate, and it can't pick up weak signals. So when you know where to point the high-gain antenna, the low-gain antenna is mainly there as a backup in case it malfunctions. I've been trying to point the high-gain antenna at the area where I believe the satellites are, in geosynchronous orbit around the equator. I've been transmitting the SOS signal using both the high-gain and low-gain for an all-around effect, but I just realized I haven't been listening with the low-gain antenna, only broadcasting. If I'm only listening with the high gain and it's off by just a little bit, then of course I would miss a signal if it were being broadcast back to me. I punch in a series of commands to bring up the low gain antenna, and I can hear the gyroscopes responsible for moving the antennas whirling to life outside the station. I update the programming, telling the computer to listen with both antenna and to open up the range of the low gain antenna as much as possible. I wait. I listen to the hum of the station systems working in tandem to keep me alive. After several minutes, the computer beeps. It has picked up an incoming message. "Nix!" I scream loudly enough that I jump at the sound escaping my mouth. "Nix, the computer's picked up an incoming signal!" "What was that you said?" he asks as he pokes his head into the service module. I can tell that he has been charging in sleep mode by his demeanor. I don't know if it's possible, he is just a computer, but I believe Nix actually experiences grogginess when he's been charging for a long time. He seems to be less sharp after he wakes from a long charge. "I picked up a radio signal incoming from one of those satellites they launched last week," I repeat excitedly. Hold on. Let me pull it up. The signal is a text file, not an audio file, as I would have expected. But actually, this makes a lot of sense, because whoever sent it would want the signal to be as small as possible, knowing that I might be using a less powerful antenna to pick it up. The message is in a loop, and after a few moments of uploading, words appear on the holoscreen. "Hello, I received your transmission. Turn on ham radio to frequency 145.2 megahertz over DC. I turn and grab Nix by his shoulders, and a scream of joy jumps out of my throat before I can stop it. Tears start to well up in my eyes. Tears don't really fall in microgravity. Rather, they pool up in your eyes, making it difficult to see. I wipe them clean with the sleeve of my shirt, but I'm so happy that I'm almost sobbing, and the tears well up again almost immediately. Nix stares at me with the same old Iron Man enthusiasm he always has. The smile on my face must be overwhelming because he says, "Oh, Ida, I'm very happy to hear this." I catch my breath and try to regroup my thoughts. Nix, I've got to get to work here," I say, and I release his shoulders. I open up a fresh tile on the holoscreen and start to make some notes. The station is on the dark side of the Earth right now, and based on the location calculator on the computer, Washington, D.C. is on the day side. So I'll have to wait until we orbit around. The orbit will take about 28 minutes. Once around to the day side of the planet, I should have 9 or 10 minutes of talk time before I lose signal. I can live with that. I start rummaging through the cabinets in the service module to find the ham radio. I find it in a forgotten corner of the module where I store things that I rarely use. It's been years since I dragged this old handheld radio out. The Delta crew members used it to talk to people on the surface whenever they had a few minutes of free time. It was a way for them to connect with regular people who were hoping to catch a word or two with astronauts. I plug the old radio into the station computers and begin the setup process. Please, God, let it work. Thanks for listening, sci-fi fans. Ida has picked up Ale's message, and they're about to speak for the very first time. Join me for the next episode to find out what happens when they finally make radio contact. See you then. Bye.